WAFU. At ADBF. Oh, yeah? I realized my radio was turned all the way down. Good morning. Hey, good morning, W8FU. So, how goes the grind? What is today, Wednesday? Or is it Tuesday? It's only Tuesday. Honestly, though, I woke up today. I think I got the cobwebs out yesterday. I woke up today. I feel good. I'm back on the horse, and you know, just going through the motions again. How about you? How was yesterday? Eh, not horrible. I stayed up too late Sunday night, so I made my own problems, and I didn't catch up last night, so I don't know. We'll see how today goes, but plugging away. Trying to think of the next day off I get here. What would be the next federally recognized holiday? Definitely not Valentine's Day, right? That's next. March. Don't tell me May is the next one. Well, if you get bank holidays, like I do, we've got Martin Luther King and President's Day, and I don't know, there's a couple others. We get a half day for Good Friday. Don't know if there's anything else. Second year in January, I thought. Is that MLK? I don't know. Yeah, it's a downside of working in the service industry. There's if it's not a federally mandated holiday, we don't get it. My sister gets Thursday? When's President Carter's funeral? She gets the whole day off because she works for the frickin' forest something something government agency. I did not. Whoops. We don't get that, huh? But we never get state funerals. So she must be a Fed. Oh, man. We haven't had a state funeral in a hot minute. Ah, well. Anywho, I'll have to, on another note, I'll have to get a list of your Meshtastic stuff from you. I stuck a TV up on the county building yesterday, and it's performing pretty well, but I need to get something outdoor. I don't need battery. I don't need solar. I need something that I can power over Ethernet, so I don't even know if you have anything that's appropriate. I know you were trying to build solar-based battery-type units, so... But regardless, shoot me a message. Let me know what you got on the block. Yeah, for sure. I've got a TV in as well. That one, I think I'm encroaching 2 weeks with no external power, and it's at 3%. So I think if that one could figure out the if I get a decent solar panel, or I'm still not convinced that solar is the way to go in Michigan. That one would run literally forever if I could get some juice to it. That rack wireless I have, or WizBlock or whatever it is, it's a great little device, sips power, but the enclosure that I spent $65 on is a piece of garbage, and again, doesn't charge. But I don't really want to blame them. It's Michigan winter, so... You know, I know Anthony hasn't had problems, but he's also got, God, how many 18650s were in that unit he sent me? You know, I don't know. Maybe I don't have them facing the right direction. They're facing east, which in my opinion is where the sun comes up. That's where you should get juice. I don't know. But my, even my solar cameras, I've been taking them down every 2 weeks to charge them because it's been A, too cold, and B, not enough sun. But, yeah, I've got a T-Beam, I've got that rack whiz block, I've got an Echo, and I've got a T-Deck. I told Dave, I'm probably going to get rid of everything except for the Echo, just to have something to play with.
Yeah, I was looking at the rack stuff, just because you can buy a PoE module for it, some other stuff, so, but, you know, my criteria are, it's got to be something, I'm going to stuff it in a weatherproof enclosure, and then it's going to be rooftop, but I need, but, you know, power is not a, power, I'm going to run power to it, preferably PoE. I think the rack unit has that provision. So, but I also want to be able to manage it over the network. So I'm going to have to figure out how to do that. And so, you know, I know you can get power over Ethernet to a Pi. So I said, well, what if I put a Pi with power over Ethernet in the box and then have that Pi connect up USB to the rack unit or whatever I put in there, and you know, and then I could remote into the Pi, and then that would allow me to you know, do anything I need to do to the rack unit or whatever I put in there. So that may be my solution, but I have network cables already ran from my site, you know, where all my site hardware is. And it's all battery backed up and generator and all that, so I don't need solar. And the network cable's already ran, so all I got to do is just drop the thing in, plug it in, and presumably I'll be away. I'll go, and then I won't have to go up to manage it because I'll be able to log into the Pi. So I'm thinking that's probably how I'm going to go. A little different scenario than what you were looking to do, but you know, I don't know if any. Yeah, we'll get me part of the way there. One thing I told myself is I wasn't going to spend a dime on this stuff.
The rack is the most modular, so I've got a whiz block and a GPS module, but you can get an Ethernet module, and then I think you need a separate PoE module for that. So I believe it is possible, but by the time you do that, you're almost $100 into the damn device. Just the device, just the boards. So I don't know. I'm just going to keep my opinions to myself, and I'm going to sit back and just see what happens, but it just did not impress me. So, you know, like I said, I'll donate that rack if you want to mess with that, but I know that they make firmware for the Pis now. I just don't know what model Pis. But, yeah, like you were saying, you could just put it on a Pi with a PoE hat and an SSH in the thing and probably do everything you needed to do. Or depending on the VNC, or the OS, you could VNC into it. So that's what I do with my Pis in my rack. And Anthony's got a box of them at my house still, because I got to build up an iGate, which I keep meaning to do and just don't have time.
All right, well, once I figure out what the build's going to look like, I'm going to do two of them. And I think the two should be able to see each other. So, and then I'm hoping I'll get 4 or 5 miles out of each. So that'll cover a 4 or 5 mile, you know, radius down by Anthony and I. And I'm hoping he can get to it and I can get to it. And then a 4 or 5 mile radius at Greg and Dave and them. Because, you know, it's just convenient to where I have a site, right? And I think the two units should be able to connect to each other. So I don't have a whole lot of faith or expectation of it either. I think it's kind of fits on a pole if you ask me all this effort. To send around some text messages that, I mean, I like the tinkering aspect of it, you know, so I'll tinker with it, okay, but I really don't see any great use or to have great expectations of it myself. And because I got the two sites, I'll put a little bit into it. You know, a little different situation than you, I know. You know, being out there in the boondocks.
I still plan on getting one on the roof of my building, too, which is a good 3 stories. That'll definitely hit yours at the county building. So that'll be a nice bridge between, you know, you and wherever you're building out, and then everyone north. So I'll put my T-beam up there. I just got to figure out the power thing. It drives me nuts that I couldn't get a damn solar panel to work right. But who knows, maybe being that high up, that close to the water, it'll actually charge a little bit better than where I'm at now. We'll see. Maybe I'll get that solar panel Anthony said. But, yeah, I don't want to just, you know, say, screw this, I'm done, I'm going home. But I'm definitely not interested anymore and don't really want to put too much more effort into it. So I initially liked tinkering. I like building the enclosure and all that stuff. But not getting results is a little frustrating, a little bit of a bummer, especially with the amount of money I put into a couple of these things. I don't know. Last night I sat down, I turned on the 710, talked on 40 meters, and it's like, that's my kind of hobby. Like, that's the stuff I like. You know, I was trying to explain to my buddy how HF works. He goes, wait a minute, so why are we just putting a tree? You're talking to this guy in Connecticut. I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's all there is.
Yeah, that's why I kind of laugh at some of these myopic people. I periodically I'll stop in the GMRF Facebook groups, and you know, you're hearing guys that are talking all about their prepping for, you know, communications and the, you know, in some scenario that they envision or something, and then you know, in the same breath they're, you know, sad ham and, you know, and all this stuff. And You don't need to be a ham for emergency comms. And I'm like, dude, you're missing the point. You know, that emergency communications is a large quiver, you know, and you got to have a lot of arrows in it, right? Because, you know, you're going to miss, right? And you've got exactly one arrow. And that arrow is likely to miss 90% of the time, you know. HF, on the other hand, that's a powerful arrow. You know, and you could even argue that that's multiple arrows because, you know, depending on what band and what time of day and all this stuff, you know. So really, you know, being prepared for any kind of, you know, comms where you don't need any infrastructure involves a working knowledge of HF and how it propagates and when you could expect to talk here or there. And what's the need? What do you need to accomplish? What do you need to... Where do you need to pass a message, you know, between? You know, if somebody walks up to you and says, look, we got to get a message into, you know, down to Texas. You know, you say, okay, well, let's see what time of day it is. Okay, it's, when do you need it there? Say, well, sometime today. Okay, well, I should be able to window to Texas on 20, you know, or, you know, give or take, you know, when the sun comes up. And have a basic knowledge. And then, you know, if you still have access to, you know, some of the solar, you know, numbers, you know, and you can figure them out yourself, or I don't know. But if you do have access to that, you can really figure out, you know, okay, I know I can go here, and I should be able to do this, or, you know, something. You know, being prepared for emergency means knowing everything that's available to you at any given time. You know, and it ain't one thing that you put all your eggs in a basket on.
So, are you eight?
What up, Anthony? Yeah. The GMRS community is something else. They think they're preppers because they have a Bofang that they can barely program. Or, they buy the freaking GMRS one that comes pre-programmed. It's sad. It's unfortunate. It's kind of a toxic community. I was watching, I wasn't watching, I clicked on it to read the comments. The Not a Rubicon douche lords YouTube videos, and, like, the amount of, they come off as, like, QAnon prepper idiots in the comments, just bashing hams. It's like, you literally could not pass that test. If someone had a gun in your head and said, you got to pass your technician test, you wouldn't pass it, because you can't. Yeah, no, HF's an amazing thing. I absolutely love it. I'm 100% focusing on that going forward. 710, I hate to admit it, I love that thing. It's just, it's such a good radio. It hears so well. I've never turned it over 50 watts, and I've already worked into Brazil on phone, and it's awesome. And I don't even think the bands have been that great. So I'm focusing all my efforts there. Just like you said, you know, it is multiple arrows because there's so many different ways you can use HF radio. So going to get a couple portable setups and just keep playing HF. Go ahead, Anthony.
Good morning, gentlemen. I heard you guys commiserating about the other side, and I tend to agree. It's a beast over there, but, you know, anyone that thinks they're prepared and thinks they know everything is clearly not prepared. It's anything. One thing that I've learned about ham radio is the second you think you know what you're doing, you have no idea what you're doing. Some other door opens up, and you are just as confused as you were yesterday. So anybody that is thinking that one thing is going to fix their problems, they are the problem. But, speaking of passing tests, I need to start studying for my general. So that's going to become a priority soon here. The winter months are perfect for it. Over to you, Sean.
Yeah, and I really don't mean to bash on that community. It's a retaliation when they, you know, get silly about this one. Hold on, I'm at the Starbucks. I'll be back.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, we're not bashing them unprovoked. They kind of bring it on themselves. I bought one GMRS radio in my life, let's put it that way, and that was the day I ordered, ordered my license where I just had to pay the fee and they gave it to me.
Oh, don't take my terminology of bashing as a absolute negative. That was a nice way of, I guess I could have said critiquing the other side. When your scope of knowledge is small, your scope of criticism is typically high. So those guys are on the other side criticizing because they don't know what they're missing and don't know what they don't know. But yeah, it's a beast. And Dakota, like we talked about, it wouldn't be there at all except, it's an easy entry point for friends and family that aren't going to spend the time of getting a ham license. And it makes it so that you can communicate with them, whether they're probably most likely on Simplex, so they're not going to get involved in the politics of GMRS. So it has its purpose, but it's not, its purpose isn't daily use for me, that's for sure. I don't think I've talked on the GMRS repeaters in months, and, man, I rarely even monitor them anymore, so... You know, it's really out of my scope. The only time I monitor them is when I'm heading up north. I think I'm heading up this weekend, so I'll probably be on GMRS because I can keep it rolling all the way through Saginaw and makes it nice and easy. And unfortunately, I don't have my cam repeaters programmed well enough in my radio that I can pick up the repeaters that go up along 75. So... stick with GMRS, and it treats me well for, you know, a couple-hour ride.
And you know you can, too. Those repeaters are there even better for ham radio. So I'm the same way. I don't know why, you know. I think the GMRS repeaters are so, you know, there's a finite number of them, and they're very, you know, they're very well-defined in that line going up 75, whereas the ham ones, We just don't have them as well defined, but they're there. Just rest assured. Anyhow, I'm back for a minute. Go ahead, Dakota.
I like the service, like you said, Anthony. It's useful for friends and family. You hand them a radio. You're operating under this call sign, yada yada. Which at that point, it's basically FRS, and it probably would suffice using FRS. But yeah, the repeater side of it—that's where it's where it turns into a little bit of a circus, so I have not been on there either. I don't monitor them anymore. I don't think I'm going to modify any more radios to accommodate that circus, unless it's a software unlock, because I just don't find myself using it. And if I do use it, I don't use any of my nice radios, because I'm usually doing something that would most likely break a nice radio.
Sean, to your point, I assume the infrastructure is there for the ham repeaters going up, but you run into, are they linked? Likely not. There are some. I know there's some. I know there's the whole Central Michigan network, but there's also, the GMRS is definitely monitored, and if you don't know if the repeaters on your way up north are linked, then you wouldn't, they likely aren't monitored at the time that I would be traveling up, so it'll just take a bunch of homework to get it all figured out. I'll get it there one day, just need to sit down, do a little recon and a little radio programming so I have an effective program. And yeah, over to you, Sean.
Yeah, they have a, there's a Holly on the Central Michigan that's connected to this setup, to the FBI. There's a Flint, there's a Frankenmuth. I don't know if there's a Saginaw or Bay City. I think there might be, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Or how far Frankenmuth covers. So if you had Holly, Flint, and Frankenmuth in your radio, then that would just about give you the same coverage as the MIA gives you right here. So there's that. But yeah, you're right. There's always somebody. That's a captive audience there. So they've got a there's always somebody listening. We tend to be drive time, and then we are off doing other things, and you can be hit and miss on the amateur side of the house anymore. And it's just the way it is, right? But like I said, I put up, I don't know if you were listening when you got in here, Anthony, but I put a note on the county building downtown Mount Clemens, and it seems to be seeing, it's in a window facing north, so it's seeing really well to the north. It sees Riley's Pine Tree one pretty well. It sees Bragg, and it sees Dave, and the Macomb Township. It sees all those really well. So when I get that, when I get something outside with an Omni, that one should really play well. Then I'm going to put one on the hospital between you and me. I don't know if that's going to, work for us, but those two should be able to talk to each other, and then they should, have a nice footprint in and around their area. So I wasn't going to spend any money on this stuff, but I'll spend a couple of dollars. John, EDAPO, has donated a couple of T-games, which we're currently experimenting with right now. That's one of the ones that's in Mount Clemens. So, as long as everybody's chipping in a little bit, like I said, I got no problem spending a little bit, putting a couple up here and there. Anyhow, that's enough on all that. I am pulling into the parking lot here. I will have the radio on, though, so don't talk about me. Dakota, W8FQ.
Yeah, Sean, we'll have to get together here, and I'll give you another note or two to redeploy and hopefully get a more strategic position. They're not doing a whole lot of good sitting in my backyard other than they can talk to each other, so... I'll probably keep my C-DAC just to see if that firmware grows anymore. And I'm going to keep my Echo because it's kind of a all-in-one, small, contained unit. Probably just get a better antenna for it. See what I can do. But, I need to get one up on the roof of this building. But we're in the process of purchasing it, and they don't want me on the roof, but I think one day I'm just going to come here early and put it up there. So. I'm also at work, gentlemen, so I will talk to you later. Today's an early day, so maybe I'll catch you on the ride home, and have a good day. I'll be clear of yours, NADBF.
gentlemen, have a great day. And Dakota, if we can link up somehow, I think I have an extra one of those solar panels. If you wanted to try to use it, you'd need some 18650 batteries. But like I said, my node's been, it's been up there for months. It's been charging in these last couple sunny days. I think I've been at 95% for the last 3-4 days. Even in this cold, it's holding charge. So let's try to link up sometime soon, maybe next week or something like that. But I will talk to you gentlemen soon, KERUH, and I will be clear. Have a great day.
KEATFM.
KEATFM, this is KF8BOT. Good morning, sir. This is Eric.
Good morning, Eric. This is Davian. I don't believe I talked to you before. And I just dropped off my my son at school, and now I'm heading across town to Livonia to go to the office. First time back this year, so... I guess I'm ready for it, but I could do without it, let's say that.
Trust me, I totally get that. It's pretty bad when you're drinking your coffee in the morning and thinking, yeah, today would be a really good day to call off.
Yeah, this holiday, though, was pretty long. It feels like I've been gone forever, so, yeah, I'm not quite sure. By the time I start digging through emails and getting things caught up, I'm not quite sure how much of a mess it's going to be, but it definitely felt like a long holiday. I mean, it feels like I've been gone 4 weeks or something like that. So that's the plan today. But, yeah, at least all the construction and that's gone on 696, so the drive's pretty easy now.
Yeah, I was glad that that finally finished up. I know for a while there it was ridiculous.
Yeah, in the morning I can get there about an hour, but yeah, when that construction was going on, I was an hour and 45 minutes, I would say, to get home. It was something like that. Yeah, so it was pretty long. So did you have a good holiday? Were you able to do any fun stuff?
Yeah, it was pretty good, actually. My one of my sons, who's in the Marines, was able to come up and get some leave, and we spent about a week together, and then he actually went down or out to California to visit his fiance. And so, yeah, it was a pretty decent little holiday. I only had basically 2 days off, but I work up at the National Cemetery, so we're never closed more than 2 days.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I'm gonna head up there this month. I gotta get there for the 19th. Yeah, January 19th. So my grandparents were buried there last year in March. So I'm gonna head up there for my grandma's birthday on the 19th. So that's the plan there. So hopefully it don't get snowed out or anything.
That is very cool. Yeah, the 18th, they're doing the wreath pickup, so hopefully it'll be a little bit warmer, we're hoping, this year, because I know last year it was just an insanely, stupidly cold, icy day.
So how long has your son been in the Marines? How long has it been since you've seen him?
He's been in going on 8 years now. It's actually kind of nice right now. Even though he absolutely hates being a recruiter, but he's on recruiting duty out of Pennsylvania, so only about 4.5 hours away, so we actually get to see each other every couple months, which is pretty nice. And then I've got two that are in the Navy that I don't see them quite as often. They're both out of Norfolk, Virginia.
That's cool. Yeah, I was when I was younger, I was all set to join the Air Force, and 2 months before I was leaving, I wound up getting in a motorcycle accident, and I couldn't go, so I had to, like, undo the whole process, so it was a little bit of a bummer. I mean, it always works out, right? Everything happens for a reason, but I always thought that would have been, like, a cool experience, you know, coming out of high school and doing that for 4 years. I still think it would have been a lot of fun. I don't want my kids to go just because I don't want them to leave, but but if they decided to do something like that, I mean, I'd fully support it. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Like, military, you know, if you make it work for you, you can do a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm really glad they did, but I totally, as a parent now, I'm understanding how my parents felt when I went in, because... yeah, it's not as much fun being the parent with someone, especially, you know, with the way that the world is, and, yeah, it's like, you know, you could have just gone to college, right? Over KFABOT.
Yeah, my oldest is a senior in high school this year, so I'm starting to prepare myself for the adjustments that are going to happen, you know, because my wife and I were the kind of... They don't have to leave. They can stay. we like having them around. So, but yeah, we got the first one that'll be, you know, making a plan and deciding what to do. And I'm not looking forward to it. One, I'm starting to feel old, but I don't want to see her go too far away. So, but I think she'll wind up going out of state possibly for school. We'll see. She don't quite have a plan together yet, but she wants to be in a. And there's only so many schools that do that, so it'll be interesting to see the path she decides on. KEA-TFM.
Yeah, my youngest is 27 now, and when it finally dawned on me that, hey, they're all out doing their adult thing, yeah, that was really rough, because like you said, that's when it kicks in the... dang, I feel old.
Yeah, and I'm kind of shocked how quick it went by. I mean, I'm still young enough that I can kind of remember high school. And, you know, when I was going to high school, it felt like forever to get through that. I mean, it felt like I had already lived an eternity. And here with my daughter, it's like, wow, she's already done. Like, how did that happen?
Absolutely. Enjoy it while you can. And, you know, it just went ridiculously fast. And, yeah, and even after they move out, it even speeds up even more. But, hey, I just pulled into work, so I'm going to have to sign off. You have a great day and stay warm on your first day. Enjoy catching up on 400 emails. And it was a pleasure, sir.
All right, take care, Eric. Enjoy your day. I'll talk to you. This is KEA-TFM. I'll be monitoring.
You do the same. KF8BOT, I am 73.
W-8-E-A-P.
K-E-A-T-F-M.
Good morning. You off to work meeting or off to some POTA park?
Nah, going into the office today. I do got my radio with me, though. I might go to, if I get done early enough, go to Mayberry State Park on 8 Mile there.
Roger on that. Yep. Yep, it's a little nippy out, but Mayberry. 8 mile and what? I'm not familiar with that.
It's west of Farmington Hills, so can't remember what the roads are out that way. Kensington Road, maybe. Yeah, it's about 20 minutes west of Livonia where I'm going.
Okay, yeah, not familiar with that area at all. You've been doing the ones at Belle Isle, though, I see, quite a bit.
Yeah, I had to take my nephew back to the airport, so on the way back, stop there. It's a nice park, actually. I mean, it's cleaned up really nice. And you can, looks like it don't matter if the park's technically closed, it's loaded with cars. There's a lot of people that are just kind of parked along the river edge there, sitting in their cars. Not sure what everybody's doing, but a lot of cars there.
Probably testing out their mesh tactics.
Yeah, I'm going to try one more thing. I made a 900 megahertz antenna on a PCB, a Yagi, and I'll have them probably by this weekend. And if I can't connect to other nodes, I think I'm going to probably lose interest in it. I don't really see the value in it. Not really a good use case. Once in a while, I think Dave drove by, and I seen him, but that was it. Otherwise, no other nodes that connect to mine.
Yeah, I told Dave, kind of not interested, but if he wants to donate one to stick up on my windowsill on the second floor to be a hop point, connect the dot to some two nodes, maybe mine would connect the dot, then I'll do that. I'll just leave it hooked up running on the windowsill.
Yeah, it's complicated text messaging, for sure. But it's probably a little cooler if you like tinkering with the software side of things, but I just like using stuff. So, yeah, we'll see. Do you have a good holiday? Do you make it up north at all?
WADAT. Yeah, it was pretty nice one up north. Didn't get any snowmobiling in, because only like an inch of snow, not even. It just melted. I think it was probably 40-something degrees. But, yep, well, getting back to the mesh-tastics, Dave got a new high-gain antenna. He thinks that he can reach your place if he puts it in his attic. He hasn't put it in his attic yet. We got the cold weather up north, but no snow, not enough snow.
Yeah, I'm going to try to head up there this weekend, do some sledding at Hanson Hill.
Well, there might be enough to go sledding, if that's about it. But, there's another repeater up there in Rose City that I can hit from my place. I don't know if you have it entered programmed in your radios, but that one works. That's got a really good coverage too, just like the Mayo one. Oh yeah, the Rose City one I could hit from my house on a rubber duck.
Oh, one in addition to the, I think DMI is the last three letters. That one's analog and fusion. I didn't know there was another one.
DMI, that's the one I'm talking about. But there's the other one in Mayo. That was the N9KOP in Mayo. I think it's 146710, I think. It's So that's a good one, and then that one, like the one that you just mentioned, MDI.
Yeah, when I get to the office, I'm going to post a couple videos of our conversation on Telegram. I think I got the same problem with the J2 that Dakota had. I think it's the radio. I don't think it's the FBI repeater.
What problem is that? I know he has a high-pitched whine.
I don't know. It's this weird, like, crackling sound when you're talking. And then, like, every fifth key up, when I key down, I get this loud before the audio goes away. It's almost like it shuts down the tone before the repeater, so it stops looking at the tone, so when it quits that, you get this really loud splash at the end.
Well, when you unkey, there's a loud squelch burst, but then when the repeater unkeys, it's really nothing, just a click. So it's when you are unkeying from the repeater, there's a loud noise, but then when the repeater unkeys, there's really no noise to speak of.
I think it's the radio. I was thinking it was the repeater with the loud splash. I'm going to try to take it here. It seems to be worse when I talk a little bit longer.
I'm just getting ready to walk in the door, but we could try another repeater later or something.
Yeah, that's what I'll have to do, try another one and see if that's actually it. But it's the squelch burst, sometimes it's short, and sometimes it's like really long. So, I don't know, we'll see. Give me something else to mess with. Hopefully it's not the radio. We'll see. All right, man. Well, have a good day. We'll talk to you later. KE8-TFM.
Roger. All right, man. Have a good one. Talk to you later. WATEAP. NAKPP Mobile. NAKPP.
NATP Mobile. NATP.
WARCY from WAFU.
W8RCY, go ahead. Did your phonium come in? Phonium coming arrived, but it did not arrive with a new SIM card, so I have to do everything by hand. And it's been a long 2 hours on the phone, just them getting it activated manually the old-fashioned way from, like, the year 2000.
Oh, joy. Well, if you were mine, I think I'd like to just swing by and grab that node, then I'll take it in the comfort of home at my leisure and get it all set up, and then that'll give you time to get your phone under control, and when I come back, when you're comfortable and got the, got that thing, your phone where you want it, then I'll shoot over, and it'll take 30 seconds to get that part done, and that'll give me time to get it all set up. So if I could, I wouldn't mind just quickly swinging by to grab that.
Okay, give me about 5 minutes to throw a shirt on and get the thing unplugged and stuff like that. Well, it is unplugged. I just got to, wind up the cord and everything. So give me about 5 minutes to get downstairs.
Oh, I'm not here. I just got out on the road. I'm up in Mount Clemens. So if that's okay, I'll give you a call when I, I can go home first and change and all that stuff. It doesn't have to be right now, but at some point I'm just going to drop down and grab it. You let me know what's convenient for you.
Well, to save you a trip back out from the house once you get home, just swing by on your way home, and I will be downstairs in a matter of a few minutes. So I don't know how far out you are, but I could be down there in just a few minutes with it. And when you pull it up, I'll just hand it to you, and just like you know, I just got to remember not to drop in and jump into the car and think we're going to breakfast.
Well, it's going to be a generation older and a lot bluer. State. You won't miss the antennas. You'll know it's me. But it's going to be at least 20 minutes, so take your time.
Give me a call on the radio then when you're like at 12 mile or 11 mile, whichever way you're coming across, and I'll head down.
All righty. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, this is going to take a while. I'm just now getting my banking information back into the phone so I can at least do my banking. This is no fun. 25 hours to get my phone, an extra 25 hours to get it. And like I said, there was zero cost to all of this, so that's the only redeeming factor. It's just time lost, and now the time I'm going to lose having to reprogram everything by hand. So, all right. Give me a call, and I will be ready with it. I'll head down. W8RCY, that's it. We'll see you in a little bit. I know I'm pathetic and hopeless.
Okay, be there in a bit. Give me a call when I get, when I'm about five out. And I know I've been down the new phone extravaganza a few times. It's a pain in the arse, and I always like to do them fresh like you're doing. That way, it's like giving them an enema. They're probably long overdue by the time you get there, so reload everything fresh. Give rid of, a lot of things you had you probably didn't need, and, so just look at the bright side. You'll have a nice fresh phone with a nice fresh install. All right, I'll call out a bit when I
when I'm about five out. WKW. Okay, Donald, I'm probably about 5 minutes out at this point.
All right, I'm heading down now, so, and you said it's an Escape, right? Just like the other one, same color or different color?
No, I got that one I deployed up in Mount Clemens, so I got to take this one and just reflash it, reprogram it, and then I'll bring it back. So it'll look just like that one, because it will be that one. I do have a case being made for it, but... That's a Captain Don thing, and he's got to get to it.
Okay, that's fine. I am now in the lobby, so I'll see you in a little bit. W8RCY.
Okay, I just went underneath mound. I'll be getting off the equator here in a minute. So I'll see you in a couple.
K8RUH.
What up?
Pulling out of the office. Where are you at?
I am at the M53 dead end where it goes down from a four-lane to a two-lane.
Ah, you got quite a jump on me. What'd you leave at 4 o'clock today?
Yep, I got the nanny at the house today, so I had to get out at 4. I think I got to get out at 4 again tomorrow, so not all bad.
You got a, not as flexible as you once were, but pretty flexible it seems like. You can stay late some days and leave early others. That works out pretty well.
Yeah, I've fortunately hit that point in my career, I think, where I can kind of go into a new position with that, you know, taking precedence over other things, where it's like I just, you know, flexibility is key. So I'll work, things will get done, but I got to be able to leave when I need to leave.
Yeah, that's pretty important. I know I got quite a bit of flexibility. It's most days I'm expected to be there 8 to 4:30, but the second I have something that's important, I'm out of there.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the way of the world now. You can't run a business like a Gestapo and expect to keep your employees. You know, and my boss now is someone who was a colleague of mine for almost 3 years. We were working alongside each other at different companies, but so yeah, you know, it works out. I'm very fortunate to be where I am.
I also think it's like you said, we both are at a point in our career and our roles give that flexibility. I'm sure there's, I know from the other roles that we have in our company that are more labor focused, and you guys too, those guys don't have as much flexibility, but they're just at different points in their careers and have different roles, so pretty lucky.
NADBF. Yep, I just had this conversation with my mom. There's a couple people, one of them is soon to be family at my current job here, company, and, you know, a lot of these people think they're worth X amount of dollars when, in reality, they're worth what they're paid or less. And I'm not trying to, you know, discredit or take away anything from people, but people think these comfy salaries come overnight, you know, fresh out of college. It's like, well, you know how much time you got to put in to get to that number?
That is certainly true. I think the days of walking in the door and with no experience and getting a nice salary are far over. There might be a couple different industries or roles that you could have right out of college that can pay pretty good, but it's not what people once thought it was. I don't even know if it ever really was that way, but people certainly thought it was that way.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of entitlement nowadays with the younger generation, and it's not even the younger generation. I'm not saying it's just them. I mean, there's people in their late 30s in a similar position that think the same thing. It's like you're not worth that. You gotta get there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a beast out there, and people are difficult.
I just keep my head down and keep doing what I'm doing, and, you know, well, the best word of advice I ever got from an early employer was just work hard, do what you're supposed to do, do it better than the next guy, and you're going to, you know, money will come.
Absolutely. And most people don't want to work hard, but what are you going to do? That's not my problem every day, so makes things easier for me because I am willing to work hard, so it's easy to shine when everybody else is a lump of coal.
I just don't understand why you would want to go to work every day and pretend to be working hard versus just working hard and making the day go by. Those are the people that blow my mind, and those are the same people to turn around and have their hand out saying, I want more money. But anyway, won't beat that horse to death. I could go all day about laziness and how much I cannot stand it. But, just rolling home on dad duty, so I don't know how much radio I'm going to get to play this afternoon. But, man, I am super happy with how I set this stuff up to where I can just sit down at my desk and turn on a radio.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I saw those pictures of your antenna up, and it made me, I still haven't put that one antenna that you gave me up. I got to get that up, and then I can start listening and talk on 10 meter if it's open at all anymore. I know in the winter it's tough, but just got to get it done. I was going to put it in the attic. I got to see if it'll work up there. If it doesn't, I'm going to try to do something similar to what you did, probably not as high speed, well-rounded, but maybe in iteration number 2 it'll be that nice. We'll see what happens.
Ten's been decent. I got Brazil on phone the other day on 10, and then when I was monitoring, I heard a couple other DXs out there, so it's workable, and I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm still running. I haven't cranked that radio over 50 watts, and I've been getting all over the place. I think antenna is 99% of the battle.
Now, your antenna, did you put that horizontal, or is it pitched on an angle?
It is starting at, I don't know, 10-ish feet. It's basically to my soffit, so I'd say anywhere between 10 to 12 feet is where the feed point is and then where the balun is. And then I'm sloping out to the tallest tree that made sense to get in. It was only about 30 feet, which sucks. My old house, it was up 80 or 90. I had it so high. It was such an awesome setup. But I've not noticed any difference in performance from the old house. So maybe it doesn't matter as much, and from the little bit of reading I was doing, the articles I've read, people are saying put it just in a horizontal, up high, as high as you can. So it's kind of what I did.
Okay, that makes sense. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I was reading somewhere, and I may be misunderstanding, but if you have it sloped, you are essentially radiating the RF in the direction that it is sloped. So if you have your high point is in one, so what would it be? Like if it's facing north, the slope is facing north, the RF would go predominantly north? Is that, am I understanding that correctly? You want to slope in the direction that you're trying to reach?
I've read that too, and I don't know how much of that I believe. Professor Don taught me that, you know, the solar winds and the propagation patterns have more influence on that than the direction of an antenna, unless it's obviously like a beam. And I will say my previous antenna setup at the old house was sloping southwest, and I had no issues working Europe or eastern states. So I don't know how much of that I believe. If anything, I had a more difficult time working western states, but I also think they're less populated. So take it for what it's worth. Mine's sloping southeast right now, and I haven't used it a whole lot, but I've worked, you know, the East Coast so far without any issues, you know, Connecticut, Georgia, Florida, Maryland, Manhattan, things like that. So I don't know. I don't know how much of that I buy.
Well, that's good to know that it might be some truth to it, but don't necessarily need to worry about it, it sounds like. So when I'm putting mine up, because like I showed you, I have no trees in my backyard, and I just don't, maybe I could get it into a neighbor's tree, I don't know, I'd probably be able to get permission, but also the trees around me are so old, and some of them aren't doing so great that when there's a good windstorm, there's some good branches that come down, so I don't know what I want to do, I still might try to put it up in the attic. We'll see. Hopefully I can get around to it maybe next weekend.
I would just make sure, I would focus on a good install more than a directional install. So I would focus on getting that thing as high as I could and away from as much, you know, interference as possible rather than focusing on which direction it's sloping. And the good thing, that 9-to-1, it's not that long. So you should, if I were you, I would try to figure out how I could get it to feed from either side of the house, and then have it going over the house. Stretch it. I don't remember how big your lot is, but I would just stretch it over the top of the house to see how high I could get it. So I don't know if you got trees on either side you could rope it up into or not, but that's what I would do.
Yeah, I'll have to look. Like I said, I might try to do something with it next weekend. I'm heading up north this weekend and won't have any time. Or heck, maybe I'll do something with it on Friday and see what I can do. Oh, that's the other thing I was thinking. If I don't have anything going Friday that's important, maybe I'll run over and drop that solar panel off at your office if you want to try to test that thing out. I don't know, do you have any 18650 batteries that you could run?
I only have one that's floating around, but I could order more if it's going to work. I'm hoping we're only a couple weeks away from owning this damn building, but like I said, I might just say, you know what, screw you guys and do what I want. I've already been floating all the keys. So, yeah, I'd be interested in that. I got to get you that I-gate set up still. I have not ordered you a dongle. I have not set it up. I have not had a whole lot of time. And this past Saturday, I was on grad duty. I don't know how the hell I got that antenna installed, but I knew I needed to get it done this weekend or else it probably wasn't going to happen for the rest of the winter.
Yeah, no big deal. I mean, that when it gets set up, it gets set up. It'll be cool to have it and just be able to at least get out and send messages, even if I can't receive them. It'll be pretty cool. And then I don't know, you said when we were texting this afternoon, Do you have one of those, what is it, the Clear Zero you were telling me about? Those look pretty interesting, and if they're kind of plug and play, I'd love to mess with one because I would love to figure it out, like I said, and not have to rely on good old Dakota tech support when I have a problem. I'd like to start learning some of this stuff myself.
If you still have that RF USB dongle too, bring that with the solar panel, and I could get one of these pies configured for you. I think the only thing I would need then is you would need to find an antenna for it, which isn't a big deal. And then I might have a small SD card laying around somewhere. But other than that, it should be a simple. There's a cloning option software application on these Raspberry Pis, so I'm going to try that. I'm hoping I can just plug in an SD card to my Raspberry Pi and clone it. If not, I'll take the SD card out and clone it and just make some changes. But at the end of the day, now that I know how to do it, it's not that big a deal. Anyway, the Clear Zero. So I have a Clear Node, which is based on a Pi 4B. The Clear Zero is on a Pi 02W. So same exact principles, just slightly smaller form factor. Sean's got one. He's running it with a Pi Sugar battery. The only issue he's running into right now is trying to find a case that's, you know, good. Fits nice, doesn't increase the footprint too much. I originally bought my Clear Node for being mobile. And it works great because you got the app control. So it's really, in my opinion, the best all-star node you're going to get right now as far as portability, flexibility, and just ease of use. But if you don't want to spend a whole lot, like, you really cannot beat a Shari with a Pi 02W. You can get a Pi 02W for, like, $20, and then the kits are, like, $80. And if I showed you the guide, the Shari guide on how to configure it, dude, it's so easy. Like, I think I can do them from start to finish in about 15 minutes now. So they're not that hard to do. It takes me longer to solder all the GPIO pins on the Pi than it does to just configure it.
Well, that's pretty cool. So if you're not, I guess that battery you said Sean's running, that battery, there's no onboard battery, so you'd have to have a battery pack, like a battery bank to recharge your cell phone sort of deal to power it. Is that how people are running those mobile?
That is correct, yeah. You can, I bought a 20,000 milliamp hour power bank, and that'll run it all day long. Kind of why I haven't put a node in the truck, because I don't want to deal with external power supplies and all that crap. I really like the open spot, which has now been rendered kind of useless to me, because the URF reflectors are so bad that it's no longer a thing to do. Who cares? So my open spot's just been showing in my backpack, but I'm waiting for Sean's R&D to complete on that Clear Zero, because if he can figure out a case and battery solution for that, I'm 100% jumping on board.
Yeah, I would like to have something that can be mobile and something that if I have it at the house, I can be monitoring both the FBI and the Who Cares so that I can, you know, just hop on either one when people are chatting. Because I find myself, like on Fridays when I'm working remote, I find myself flipping it back and forth and watching the dashboards to see if people are talking or, you know, or just leaving it on one and not hearing anything, you know, or whatever it is. So it'd be fun to have a second one. It'd be nice for as much as I'm in the car, not in Metro Detroit, to have one going in the vehicle. But we'll see. It's, you know, you could spend yourself to death on all this stuff. You know that. Like, at a certain point, what do you actually need? And probably right now, I probably have what I actually need.
I'm probably super noisy because I'm in my driveway, but, those are my two favorites, right? I don't think I would change either either node. So I've got Ashari running FBI if I want to monitor that, and I got the clear node on the hub. Like you said, you probably don't need to, but the convenience of having to is cool, because then you can just keep an eye on both of them without having to do anything. I really do like the Ashari's because they're a kit that you put together yourself. They're about $100 cheaper. Actually, no, they're probably like the same price by the time you buy a Pi and the kit for ham. No, they're cheaper. So a Pi is like $60, and then a kit's like $100. So about half the price almost of a clear node. But the clear node, man, I mean, you plug them in, you turn them on, he can pre-configure them for you. So you just program your radio, turn the damn thing on, and you're on the air. So take a look at the Clear Zeros, ask Sean about it. So far, he's been enjoying it. Like I said, that's probably my next step if I get another node or I get a portable node, it'll be a Clear Zero. So worth looking into, but the Sharis are a great learning node and a high-quality node. So if you want something stationary, that's what you have right now, you have a Shari. So food for thought, but I'm going to get inside here. I'll probably jump on the hub in a little bit. I don't know if anyone's around, but I got to go be Mr. Mom, so I'll be clear after yours, and maybe I'll catch you in the morning. NADBF.
All right, have a good night, and we will catch up with you soon. We'll talk to you later. KE8RUH, I'll be monitoring for another 10 minutes or so. Have a good night.
KE8WOG.
KF8CTP monitoring.
KF8CWF mobile monitoring.
KE8TFM.
KF8S.
KE8TFM. How you doing, Dave?
Doing pretty good. Heard you call out there, but I had to wait for my node to stop announcing. So, you got your Meshtastic node is still up, I hope?
Yeah, it's still up. I got a few more experiments to try. I bought a 950 megahertz Yagi. I'm going to try that. And I also made a 900 megahertz Yagi on a PCB that I'm going to try too. Those will be here by the end of the week. So I'm going to see if I can't point the antenna towards, probably be Greg that's the closest. Going to point one in that direction and see if I can't get a permanent connection to someone.
Yeah, try pointing it towards Mount Clemens, because Sean put one up. And you could try pointing it towards me, too. I did like a terrain thing. There's nothing blocking, no hills blocking between me and you. But I don't have a good antenna up yet. I ordered a Yagi from, AliExpress. They were like $16. I go, if it doesn't work, it's only $16. And I might either point that towards Mount Clemens, or I could point it to one of you guys or whatever. But yeah, when you get it working or when you get a chance to play with it, point it towards Mount Clemens and see if it helps.
Yeah, I wasn't checking my messages, but I seen you were doing some range testing on the 4th.
Yeah, I was over in your area, and there's really no way to know which node is picking up, so that's the annoying thing. You don't know who can hear you and, you know, who answered you and all that stuff, so I was just, like, putting my location. Figured if anybody saw it, it was like, oh, I'm hearing 22 and Shainer, oh, I'm hearing 22 and Hayes.
Who cares?
Like that.
W-8-E-A-P.
Yeah, I got a note in my car, and I was driving around with it, and I'm like, well, how am I supposed to know exactly what's going on? So, wasn't sure, so I don't have it plugged in anymore, so, but, yeah. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, much. It's definitely your radio, by the way, because no one else radio goes schools when they unkey.
Whose radio, mine or Davian's?
Davian's. Hey, listen to when I unkey. Hey, go ahead, Davian.
Yeah, I still hear the splash when you unkey on my radio.
Yeah, but it's very quiet compared to yours.
I don't know, they're about the same to me. I just thought that was normal.
Mine's a little shorter.
Well, the duration of that noise on my radio changes. Usually it's short, but sometimes I get a really long like that. But it's not the same every time, that's for sure.
Interesting. Are you on, you both are on the road? You're on the road, Eric?
No, I'm on the HT at work.
The giant Bofang.
Let's try this. That was more like a click.
So which one's making the hard crash? The H3?
When Davian unkeys.
Oh, it's not a big deal for me. I mean, you guys all sound good.
Yeah, and I'm definitely not changing anything. The only reason why I even really started noticing stuff is because Dakota started complaining of the FTM 500, and now I'm paying attention to, like, every single little thing. So, that's why I'm noticing a lot more stuff that I'm not used to.
Well, there's always a quote-unquote better radio out there. That's why we keep on buying them.
Roger, Dodger.
42.
RT Dog.
The Mobile beep beep.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening. You're really getting into the Meshtastic stuff.
I mean, I don't know. I've got the sites, and then John donated the equipment. So, Donald's gonna provide a windowsill, and then I've got a windowsill. Now, am I tempted to go beyond that? It depends how our little test runs here. If our little test is promising, then, yeah, I'll put a couple of dollars into it, but all in moderation. I see some promise. I don't know what the usefulness is, but you know, we got to make it work, right? And then we can say, got the T-shirt.
I don't know if you heard Davian's making some Yaggies, so I'd be interested to find out what his conclusions are with that. So might help with some certain situations where you want to angle them towards certain sites.
Oh, yeah. Well, particularly, I was thinking, you know, two sites I'm going to do, I want to, you know, it's going to be paramount that those two have good RF performance from to each other. Because the one's going to be up by you and the other one's going to be down by me. So, you know, it's important for those two to have an RF link so that there's no intervention needed. You know, and I can see where Yagi's could do that. But you also need an Omni, you know, component. So, you know, what do you have, two units there? One, you know, one serving a point-to-point role and then another one serving a multi-point role.
Yeah, well, can easily get get extra nodes, and I mean, I got a couple nodes, so I can probably put one going in one direction and one going in and one being omnidirectional. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, we're just trying things out. I mean, honestly, I was just gonna point towards Mount Clemens because I'm not really getting good coverage towards Greg. So if we both point towards Mount Clemens, we can just link that way.
Yeah, I was talking to Fred tonight. He's got some boards coming in there. They're hats for pies. And he's hoping, you know, he's hoping those are going to pan out. But he's similar situation. He's looking for something that he can run POE and manage it from the ground, because obviously you don't want to have to pull up the damn thing every time you got to push a config change or something like that. So I'm anxiously waiting to see how this thing goes that he's getting. Otherwise, you know, but I'm leaning heavily towards like a Pi and a, you know, and like a well, it could be anything along with a Pi because it'll run off the USB connector. So I would the administration would be done by logging into the Pi. And then since you'd have the serial connection over the USB, you could do all your push your firmware updates and configs and all that stuff. So I'm kind of leaning in that direction. I don't need solar. I don't need battery. So you know, I just need them weatherproof and then a good Omni antenna. Then I'll get them up where they can see the maximum amount of sky, and we'll see what we get.
Yeah, those ones that go on the Pi, if they're the ones on thinking they are, they're 1 watt, so unlike these other ones, so I think that's probably why Fred's interested in it. So I'll be curious when you find out from him if it works. And they're really, I think they're relatively cheap too, so we all got pies sitting around doing nothing, so why not have them do something? So I'll hand it over to Eric so that we don't talk about Meshtastic all the time. Go ahead, Eric.
Nothing really to add. Just ready to leave work here, cleaning up my bench. So I'll be out in the car in a few. WADAP.
Stadium still in here?
Oh, I'm still here. About 5 minutes from home. KEATFM.
Okie doke. Well, I'm just running out to get some Chinese. So, yeah, I've been. I said I wasn't going to get involved in this, but then John had to seed the project with a couple of T beams, and then all I got really invested in so far is just a pair of those Helltech V3s, and those are fine for just, you know, the little unit you carry around with you for fun. But yeah, we'll see. I'm gonna see what I can do with these T beams, and then I'm waiting. Yeah, Fred's getting those boards are coming in tomorrow, I think he said. So we'll know what they are. I don't know. I looked around a little bit. I tried to guess what he was getting. He wasn't specific. So but I think you probably looked at the same thing I did. I think they're about $35, and they're hats that go on pies. So if that's what he, I don't know that that's the case, but if that's what he's getting, I'll be real curious to see how it works.
Yep, they're going to be better than they're going to be better than the average Helltech board. I don't know. I mean, because you got to remember these LoRa chips are only doing 0.15 watts, where if they get those boards that have the amplifier in them, they'll do a full watt. So that's, you know, that helps a little bit. I don't know how the receive is, though. Might not make the receive any better.
Yeah, I think that's our biggest problem right now is we got to get the power up to 1 watt, and then I think we have much better results.
Well, and the other thing we got to contend with is the fact that it's the ISM band, and there's a lot going on there. So you're down low in your house, that's one thing, but the minute you get them up in the air, now you're contending with things, so that's an issue too. So, but yeah, all of them can just work on it and figure out what works, what doesn't for any given site. I guess they got one up high in Flint, and it don't hardly hear a mile, and then they got another one up in Saginaw Bay City or Fitchwan, and they're getting about 13-mile radius out of the thing, I'm guessing, or something like that, I heard. So it's very, very site-specific. Okay, I'm here at Young's Chinese Food, my favorite. I'm going to run inside, get my stuff. I'll be back. W-8-F-U. Dave, did you hear that big when he unkeyed?
Yep. I don't think it's specific to a radio, per se. It's just where the repeater stops after the tone squelch.
Yeah, that was my guess on what it was, and I was kind of, because my radio, I also hear sometimes a long crash and then sometimes short crash, and but I'm kind of curious, is it like a repeater side problem, or is it that, like my radio, the receive, and you know the way that everything turns off, if it's actually a radio issue. But hearing it out of Sean's radio makes me think it might be the repeater now.
Yeah, so you know I've hooked up a TID radio H3 as my node radio now, so I don't hear any of those crashes anymore. I mean, I heard these crashes because of repeater oriented, but so what you can do is you can put a some radios have tail squelch elimination, and what they're listening for is a 55 hertz, so when you unkey your radio puts a 55 hertz tone, and it's supposed to signal to the other side, hey, they're stopping, and that's supposed to, like, all radios, any radio that hears that knows to shut off their receive, but I don't think I can do it with mine, because I can control at the radio level at the I can add that and I can listen for it, but I think with the repeaters they have to do something special with that. I don't know how that necessarily works, but usually after the tone goes away, I think I've always thought the repeater lingered a little bit before it dropped the carrier. So maybe that's not happening, I don't know. But I don't know much about repeaters, I'm just guessing.
Yeah, either way it seems to, at least I can still talk on it. Yeah, today at lunch I was able to sneak out and activate that new park. The band condition showed as poor, but I at least was able to get out in 30 minutes, able to knock out real quick, 10 meters. I was a little bit surprised.
So there's a new park, or just a park you've never gone to before?
Park I never gone to before. It only took me 14 minutes from my office to get there to Maybury, and went into that park and just pulled into the parking lot and activated right there. Worked out good.
He's hardcore.
Now out there and doing this stuff, while we're distracted with Mesh Tastic, you guys are all
doing the HF stuff. I did manage to do the New Year's, not the activation, but the Hunter. So I got the New Year's Hunter, at least.
Yeah, I got the Hunter and Activator. I just activating at Dodge Park number 4, and then I went home and hunted someone on FT8. All right, well, I just got home, so I'm going to head in and go eat some dinner, so I'll chat with you guys maybe later on the radio. So take it easy. KTFM, clear.
Later. Bye-bye for now. KF8S. Eric's in the Mobile. Maybe not.
Eric in the Mobile. Didn't hear him. So that was quick, in and out. Got my vittles on my way home.
I thought he'd be in the car by now, but not yet. So, yeah, I've been bad. I've procrastinated doing some work today. That's what I'll be doing this evening after I get off the radio here.
Oh, by the way, I figured out the Bluetooth thing with the T-beams. The T-beams, if they're paired with your phone, then they won't pair with another device. You got to go in and you got to delete the pairing with your phone, and then it'll pair with the computer and the mesh sense. So that's why I couldn't get it to work. I'm like, what the hell? I go, I know the Bluetooth, and the Wi-Fi are exclusive, but why can't I get it to pair? Because the Bluetooth was there, and then that's what it was. It was paired with the phone, and once it has a pairing, you got to nuke it for it to pair again.
You mean you got to hit, like, forget this device? You have to press that?
Yeah, I went to my phone, nuked it. It said it was paired with my phone, so I have to either turn my phone Bluetooth off or nuke the pairing with the phone, and then that allowed me to pair it with the computer. So I guess I probably could have just turned my Bluetooth off, but I had other things connected up, so I don't need it. It's the one for Donald. I just wanted to get it on Mesh Sense so I could do the manual pin drop for the location.
Okay, I've encountered that myself, had to do the forget device. And if you have an Apple device, your phone, your iPhone will transfer the devices over to your computer, and it screws that up too.
Yeah, they're playing the averages, so it's awfully convenient 80% of the time, but the 20% of the time it's not, it's frustrating in itself.
Well, anyways, I found that putting the long or the primary as our channel seems to be a little bit more reliable. I think we're getting more location packets, but I think everybody's got to opt into that. But we still get it on the secondary channels too, so interesting. It's just the fact that we can benefit now from the MQTT.
Tell you what, ever since I did that, I'm seeing a lot more everywhere, not just all of our stuff, but I'm seeing a lot more of everybody. So I think it might be because we've got upload and download enabled on our channel, something you wouldn't dare do on Long Fast. But we can do that on our channel. So because of that, I'm guessing that that's why. But I'm seeing a lot more of everything. And I'm seeing stuff I don't want to see either. I've got like 5 or 6, stations out of, the west side of the state. I've got some, one down near Jackson now showing up. Stuff that I just wasn't seeing at all before. So I'm seeing a hell of a lot more. But I'm also seeing everybody, in our group, so that's cool. I'll take this. I don't mind seeing the extra stuff because you can zoom in on the map and just focus on the geographical area you're interested in. So what? You got some, if you're running Mesh Sense, you got some, little flying lines that fly off the screen. The Never Never Land, who cares?
Yeah, that's the biggest benefit is if all of us, we... Kind of like it's tuned to us, and then
We'll still see the other stuff. If there's, like, somebody drives by your house or whatever and broadcasts a message, you'll see them and things like that. So you'll still get the long fast. It's just now it's fine-tuned. Yep. So I think that garbage dump up in, the pine tree or whatever, I think that guy must have turned off MQTT. Like, there's an additional setting. Ignore MQTT and, the OK to MQTT. So I probably turned all those on or whatever, and now we're not seeing.
Well, he's showing up on my maps. I'm still seeing him, and I'm seeing him even after Don said that. I was still seeing, him with timestamps that indicated it was after he's not reporting. So what's it not doing? Is it just not passing MQTT traffic or what? Because like I said, I still see it.
Yeah, and I'm just speculating, but you are probably seeing it over RF, and I'm not able to see him over RF. So I think what was happening is he was sending packets, and like Greg would see it. Greg would then tell the Macomb One that he saw it, and I turned off. I also lowered my hop count too. I lowered my hop count to 3 instead of 7, so maybe that's why I'm not seeing him. He's more than 3 hops away.
Eric.
Was it Eric?
No, I just figured he's in his car driving home, and he's all like, he's like white-knuckled on the steering wheel going, "Dude, I'm Majestic. Oh, they're talking about Majestic."
Right, talking to Jack.
I haven't left yet. I have not left yet. But yes, I have tuned out the Majestics.
Well, that's okay, but if you're not here, we're going to go ahead and talk about it. But if you jump in, we'll talk about Bing Fu antennas. I don't care.
I said, now I got a Bing Fu 900 megahertz antenna.
Do they make a spread antenna?
Bing Fu probably makes every kind of antenna that you can imagine. They just put their name on it.
Yeah, I'm going to get my TID Majestic node with the Bing Fu Omni. Yeah. There you go. All right, anyhow, I'm down my street. I'm going to back in the drive here and get inside. Be back in a bit. 8FU.
Alrighty, I'm going to rest my voice again. KF8S.
KU8WOG.
WAEAP.
KF8S.
Yeah, that squelch burst is you're not doing it because you're not coming in through one of the receivers. It's whatever the receiver unkeys. The receiver unkeys, and then the repeater unkeys a few seconds later. So when the receiver unkeys is when it's making that noise. And it's weird. Sometimes it's louder or longer in duration than other times. Maybe because, the link system is just the way it is, but it's not the repeater unkeying, it's the receiver unkeying. Before the person unkeying, the receiver unkeying, then that's where the noise is, not when the repeater unkeys.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So something on the receiver, when it drops the... when the tone drops, it should drop immediately, or something like that. Probably hard to do.
Roger, because when you unkey, there's 99 pound, it doesn't make that, because you're not coming in through the receiver. You is nothing when you unkey. But for some reason, it was a lot longer for Davian. Like the first few times I keyed up on the walkie-talkie, it was just like a quick, like a really short one. And then as I started to keep talking, it got worse. So, I don't know. The longer you key up, I think the longer it is. K-E-8-W-O-G. Heard a K-E-8-W-O-G, it sounded like. Your modulation's kind of weak. Noise.
Yeah, I think he said he was westbound 696. Yeah, that one's a tough area to get in.
All right, I'm jumping over to the Flint repeater now. I'm westbound 69, coming out of Davison into the Flint area.
That's much better.
Okay, yeah, much better that time. All right, perfect. Thanks, you guys. I just got a new Yaesu FT60, which is what I'm on right now with a stock antenna running 5 watts. But I'm also inside a vehicle trying to touch a repeater that's probably 10 miles away from me. But I'm getting closer to the repeater as we talk.
Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, it sounded good. Sounded good there. Yippers. Yeah, that's a pretty good repeater. He can get into that pretty far with the rubber duck. But what was the call again?
That's Kilo Echo 8 Whiskey Oscar Golf. And get your call.
E-A-W-O-G. I think it was. Yeah, this is W-8-E-A-P. Whiskey 8 Echo Alpha Papa. I'm in Warren, probably about 5 miles from the Warren machine.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no, I'm actually from the Ortonville area, Clarkston, that area, but I'm coming into Flint tonight for something else, so I've been bouncing between the Holly repeater and this Flint repeater now, listening to you guys talk, waiting for an opportunity to jump in and test out my new radio.
Yeah, well, sounds decent. It's not too overmod. It's not too quiet. It's about the right amount of modulation. So it's working okay. Is it a 5-watt HT or?
Yeah, just a 5-watt HT. I haven't upgraded to anything more powerful for the truck yet.
Yeah, you can get yourself a decent little mobile for 100 to 200 bucks with a mag mount, and it'd be doing pretty good, too. So, DB20G is a good one. If you want something inexpensive that gets out, you know, 15, 20 watts, you can just put a decent magnet mount. But, you know, with an HT, no matter what, you're going to be kind of limited to about 10 or 12 miles from the repeater.
Yeah, I can't remember what the make is on it, if it's an Anytone or a BTEC or what it was, but my dad just picked up one of the mobile rigs for his truck with a mag mount antenna, and it's really surprising how much further he can reach out and poke a repeater with it.
Yep, well, I live in Shelby Township, but I go up 75 to almost every weekend up to Roscommon. They got a place up there, so I usually, a lot of times I'm on a GMRS repeater, because there's one in Flint, Bay City, Saginaw. We could actually go almost, you know, I go up to about exit 190 on the GMRS system.
Yeah, we've done the similar stuff. I heard something about the FCC regulating linked GMRS repeaters just recently on the internet. But yeah, no, I also frequent that area. I got a cabin up in the Prudenville area, so we utilize their GMRS towers up there quite a bit.
WATAPM. We go to Prudenville quite a bit. We go to Bushilli's Pizza. There are a couple of repeaters up there, but they don't have nearly the same range as the ones down here. The one in St. Helen, I don't know, he's got some issue with that one. I think that's the 625 machine. He only gets out 5 or 6 miles. And, yeah, there was one in Roscommon. I guess it moved over to Prudenville. But, yeah, those don't have, I mean, they work here in that area, but they're not the high range ones for sure. I think they're linked together with Zello too, by the way, I think.
Oh, cool. I'll have to look into that. I am coming up to my location right now. By the way, my name is Brandon. It was good talking with you. But I'm pulling up to my location right now, so I'll be clear on your final. That's 73 is KE8WOG.
Roger, Brandon. You have a good night. Now, before you go, what amateur repeaters do you talk on up there when you're in Prudenville, by the way, before you go?
Oh, shoot. I'd have to look them up. We've used a lot more GMRS up in that area than I have ham repeaters. I made a couple of contacts coming into town, but I haven't really spent a whole lot of time on those repeaters up there.
Pretty good. Well, there's a website. It's just, you just type in no www, just gmrs.app. And if you type in a call sign, it'll give all the person's licenses. It'll give their ham and their GMRS. Or if you punch in the GMRS, it'll give them the ham. So it's a lot quicker than going to the FCC database. So just interesting. Didn't know if you knew that. But it's a quick way to look people up if their ham is a GMRS person or if a GMRS person is a ham. You just, like I said, type in gmrs.app, a little search bar will pop up. So, catch you later. Have a good one. WATAP.
Yep. No, I will definitely check that out. Thanks again. 73 is KE8WOG.
All right, 73 is there. This is Dave, KF8F, Kilo Foxtrot 8 Sierra. I was the first on there. I'm resting my voice, so I've been giving Eric a chance to talk. Talk to you later.
Now I'll say about Meshtastics, Dave, is you guys up to like 1,200 posts. It's like every day you keep trying something different, and it works good. You think it works good, and some people, you know, can hear messages, but the other person can't, and then you try something else. But like I said, when it settles down, when everyone's like settled into the same settings or whatever, or like I said, I will volunteer my windowsill if someone wants to donate one, kind of like the Donald. But yeah, it's about my interest in it, really. I mean, I support being a hopping point. I don't know if my location would make a damn bit of difference to anybody, but...
Yeah, we get closer and closer to figuring out whether this is viable or not. It's a little bit frustrating, but there's a big Michigan community chit-chatting. But they're all doing MQTT, so, you know, you got different areas of the state kind of linking in. But there's other people in different areas of the state are trying to make their own local meshes over there. And you get kind of tips and tricks from everybody playing around with this stuff. So kind of cool. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure I'm going to have extra stuff in a little while. I'm just trying to hone down what I actually can use here and such, so probably have those two hell techs that could probably give one to you and one to Jack. Jack doesn't have a license. He doesn't need one for this.
Well, you think of it this way, Dave. I mean, he might be able to reach that John guy. You know, I could reach Jack, and Jack can reach John. Hey, I'm over here at CVS. I don't know if I can fit under the awning here. I better take my antenna down.
WOG.
NAWOT.
Hey Mike, how's it going? NAWOT.
Okay, I just lost track of time, I guess. Just hooked up and realized it was a couple minutes after 11.
So what happened with Carrie last night? She worked late?
No, she just didn't turn her radio on. She didn't think I changed the channel on it, so she didn't turn it on. I'm pretty sure I changed the channel on it, so we'll find out tonight, I guess. I wonder. Oh, that's hot.
Yeah. I think they need some calibration, you think?
Well, if it's saying 387, it needs more than that. I wonder if the rest of them are off. Okay, now that just tells me that they're all the temperature sensors are felt. Are powered by the same supply. It just tells me that that one temperature sensor is not working, period. I probably got a box of them somewhere. You know, it's just a thermal resistor.
Yeah, probably disconnected or something.
Error 205.
Yeah, 205.
Is that the error code for a disconnected sensor?
No, that's the error code for the Lansing repeaters hearing me hitting DTMS, but not enough of them for it to be a valid command.
So did you do anything interesting today?
No, it's too cold out to do anything too interesting. I did go out and work in the garage a little bit. I worked on salamanders, of all things. I've got five of them out there now, four or five. I don't remember. Just trying to get them all working, making sure they're all functional. If I need one, I can grab one, you know.
Is this something that should be done? It's just a matter of course for, you know, a salamander that doesn't get a lot of use?
No, I'll just tell you where the failure point is on all of them, and you can take it from there. The rubber hoses get ionized because of the fire, the flame, the spark, and they all dry rot out, and they rust off, or they rust off. They rot off right at the nozzle. Most of the time I just tell people take, if they have a problem with them, take them apart and replace the hoses. Yep, that cures 99% of them.
I think the only thing I've ever done to this one is, I don't know, 10 years ago, is I couldn't get it to start. I took it apart, and it has like a spark plug with a really long electrode on it as the you know, starter. And I think I just took some sandpaper to it or some memory cloth or something, and it worked fine after that.
Yep. Yeah, the newer ones use an electric heating element in them. They've got their good and their bad. They're not as good as the spark plugs for igniting the fuel, but they don't cause electrical interference in your radio when they're running.
Do they stay sparking all the time, or do they, I haven't noticed, but I assume maybe they'd spark when it started, and then there'd be some heat sensor or something that would turn off the igniter.
Nope, sparks continuously. And the ones that glow continuously.
Well, I spent so much today working on that project I was telling you about yesterday where I fixed my display that broke my tester, and it just has to do with a timing issue with an Arduino. It's kind of crazy. Arduino Uno, apparently the spy clock signal is this signal they use for the LED, and apparently the bootloader flashes it three times whenever you power it up, and that creates three clock pulses on the spy bus, which of course screws up the display.
So what do you have to do to I don't know that much about how the displays work on them. Can you just not power the display on until it's booted up?
Well, that's kind of what I was doing, but that was causing a problem for the displays in their, you know, when they're in the percussion module. So it was missing some of the initial display data. So to fix that, you know, I had to make the displays, you know, monitor the spy bus earlier, which, of course, now it's seeing those early clock pulses. The worst of it is there's not a damn thing I can do about it. It's built into the Arduino bootloader, and sort of, you know, reprogramming the bootloader and changing it, which I can do. I'm just going to take the clock output before I send it out to my spyware. I'm just going to put a NAND gate on there and qualify it with a reset signal. So once it resets, it'll allow the signal, the clock signal.
Sounds like it should work.
Yeah, the bad thing about this is that I remember this happening a couple years ago when I designed this, I remember that problem, and I fixed it by, you know, slowing down the reset on the display, which caused its own problems that I'm now fixing 2 years later. But, you know, I'd forgotten all about it. I had to, like, rediscover it from scratch.
Yeah, welcome to my world. I drug a salamander from the back of the garage to the front of the garage, and I picked it up, and it was full of fuel. I was like, well, that's strange. Why did I put this one all the way back here? So I pulled it to the front of the garage and plugged it in. The fire ran up, fired right up, ran for 30 seconds, and then shut off. So I tore it apart, and I cleaned the photo eye on it, because a lot of times what happens is a bug will climb in the photo eye, and it'll cause it to not see the flame, and then it'll, you know, it'll fell out. So, well, that didn't cure it. So I said, well, that's strange. I went back to my my supply cabinet of used, well, not used, but overly stocked parts, and of course I had a new photo eye in there, and I had a new control board in there, so I just swapped out the control board and the photo eye both. Then I fired it up and ran for about 20 minutes and then quit. You know, I got to think about it. I looked down at the fuel filter. I reached inside the tank with my hand, rubbed the top of the tank. It's like, surface rust. So I changed the filter. Changed the filter out, and it fired back up. Like, well, I'll have to keep that in mind that this one's got a cruddy tank on it. I started to drain the tank, and then I thought to myself, you know, I'm not going to gain anything by draining this tank. I'll also just run it out. And then once I run it out, I got to figure out what I'm going to put in there to dissolve the rust. It probably won't happen this winter. It'll probably be okay. I'll do it this summer, you know.
Yeah, that sucks. This is kind of hard to accept that, you know, like some things about my memory are good, you know, and some things, like something like this that was important, I should have remembered that, you know, after the hassle it caused me the last time to, you know, figure all that out.
Yeah, I've gotten to the point where I leave myself notes.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I need to, you know, I could have solved that problem if I had properly commented my source code, and I didn't, and I still haven't. So I think that's a good idea. I'm going to do that tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I literally write myself little notes and put them inside project boxes. Or stickers and put labels on them. Remember, dummy. Yeah, yada, yada.
It still irks me to no end that somebody thought that was a good idea to pulse that reset line three times, to have the bootloader do it. And then, you know, it's the only clock signal for the spy bus on that particular Arduino board. I mean, I can't imagine how anybody thought that was going to be a good idea.
Okay, I'm sneezing. I got the sneezes out, now I got to blow my nose. I know you never go through this. Everybody does, I think.
Yeah, winter is rough around here. I guess with the gas heat, everything is dry. We don't really have a humidifier running, but constantly blowing crud out my nose.
Yeah, I hate cold. It reminds me, I don't remember if I turned off the light in the back of the garage. I'm going to look out there and see it on. I have to go back out there. Hoping not. Looks like I shut it off. Warden, did you turn your radio on tonight?
I did. I was just listening to you guys.
Hey, Carrie, how's it going?
All right. How is Sharon feeling?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Mine lasted 3 days, and mainly it's just because I wanted to sleep. But after that, after day three, I decided I was going to get up and do things. But it's going around my shop still.
Yeah, she still has a cough left over, but it's kind of a lingering cough. It's not terrible or anything, but she's doing good. She feels better. She went out and did some stuff today.
Somebody doubled.
Sorry. Is work going pretty good?
Yeah, it's going fine. I'm making a quick pit stop.
Sorry, you turned the volume down because the kid was asking me questions. I forgot it was down.
Yeah, Carrie said she had to make a quick pit stop.
The kid wants to take up playing electric guitar. It's like wonderful. I can listen to you stomp on the treadmill in the morning. She says, "Is that loud when I'm up there?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "We just won't complain to you because we want you to get your exercise." I said, "We get your electric guitar, you're going to have to wear headphones."
Does she play guitar now?
No, she wants to take it up. I know. You gotta feel sorry for me.
Well, I play a little guitar. Might be a little easier with an acoustic.
I could swear we already got her an electric guitar once, but she says no. Carrie would remember.
No, I don't think we ever bought her an electric guitar. What I am thinking, though, is, Jennifer, a couple years ago, gave me her electric guitar that she bought as a teenager. And she had it hanging on her wall at one point. So I know where it's at. It's in that closet in the first room, but it's kind of buried under blankets. So.
Well, I'm sure if you tell her it's there, she'll figure it out.
Yeah, it is. I seen a text she sent me on it, but I never got a chance to respond to her because kind of got hectic as the night went on, so, yeah, you know.
Okay. So, let's see. Now, I'll have the blender at 3 o'clock in the morning, the treadmill from 9 to 11. I wonder what hours for the guitar are going to be.
I didn't think she still blended at 3 in the morning.
No, she hasn't been. She's moved it up to about 1 o'clock. What have you been hearing yet?
Yeah, the thing to do is probably get her a headphone amplifier that has a mix-in input so that she can, like, you know, hook up her phone, you know, play music, you know, through the amplifier and hear the guitar also.
Well, she asked me if I had any corded headphones. Of course, you know, she says, well, I wish you can plug the guitar into an amplifier and then plug the headphones into that. I'm sure I've got some.
Yeah, I do that with my drums. I have the percussion module has a mixed-in input, and I can hook my phone to that and play music through that into the percussion module, and then the percussion module also has a headphone output, so works pretty good, works out good.
All right, kid's going to look for guitar. I told her it was in the closet upstairs under the blankets. You know she's going to totally rearrange that closet.
Oh, I don't care.
See, Lance, you get to live through us having a teenager.
Yeah, Yeah, we've been there and done that, but yeah, it brings back memories.
So, did you see any of Trump's speech today, Lance?
No, I haven't, but I did see, you know, bits and pieces of it that made headlines. It was kind of interesting.
He wants to take over Greenland. What else did he say?
I've been talking about Canada again, but I fail to see how that's a good idea, making them a state. It's like be another blue state. I don't know that we want that.
They might not be as blue as you think they are. I don't know the, what was I going to say? Oh, with Trudeau leaving, it kind of points toward the opposite, you know? She said she found speakers up there, but no guitar. Sorry, too many conversations.
Well, I really like the Greenland idea. That one resonates with me pretty well, as does taking over the Panama Canal. So, yeah, I'm down for that. I'm not sure about the Canada thing. I mean, I just keep thinking about, you know, French Quebec.
You're just afraid they're going to make us start saying A after everything, huh?
Hey? Yeah, take off, you hoser.
Hey, I got you. Or is it I got you, hey? I don't know. I guess we'll just have to wait and see how things work out.
Yeah, but I'm down. I mean, he's been more, and he's not even in office yet. He's already done more than Biden has for the last 4 years.
Yeah, I seen a short video clip of Donald Jr. flying in Donald's airplane headed over there or headed back or something. He just showed pictures of him looking out the window.
Yeah, I guess the folks in Greenland are all for it. But Denmark, which claims ownership, is not going to be too happy about it.
Warden some.
All right, Mike, I'll jump off. You guys have a great night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. N-A-W-O-T.
All right, yeah, she hasn't came in yet. She hasn't even cleared the radio or anything. Kids on the guitar, just so you know. All right, take it easy. And it'll be you.